Welcome to Time and Space Limited presents TSL Radio Theater. Each week features the original radio and performance works of Linda Musman, performed by Claudia Bruce and members of TSL's theater company from over the years.
Freight train, run so fast. Freight train, run so fast. Please don't tell what train I'm on so they won't know where I'm gone. When I'm dead and in my grave, no more good times here I crave. Place the stones at my head and feet and tell them all I'm gone to sleep. Freight train, run so fast. Freight train, run so fast. Please don't tell what train I'm on so they won't know where I'm gone.
When Sneed was home. He arrived in Grand Central Station in New York.
I was in uniform. It was a white gentleman in there, and he was crying. I never seen a man cry so before or afterwards. So I went over to him, and I was waiting for the train anyway. I went over to him, I said, what's wrong? You cry so. He said, my son is in this. He's drafted. And said, I was in World War II. I know what it is. Oh, and he's crying. I said, I told him, I said, sir, look over there. As you know, in the station, there was office and the information booth and what have you. I said, who do you see over there? He said, well, I see a man over there. I said, he's white. He said, yeah. Train pulled in. I said, you see that? Yeah. I said, you see the engineer there? Conductor? He said, yeah. What about it? I said, they're white. He said, yeah. And I called his attention to everything around. I said, look at the building. I said, who that belong to? I don't know. I said, white, eh? He said, oh, yeah. Now I want you to take another look. I said, you look at the train and the information booth and all, what have you, in the building. I said, how many black you see? He said, why, none. And I say, I'm not crying. Oh. Now, he went in his pocket, and he hugged me first. And he went in his pocket to come up with a lot of bills. And when I left that man, I left him with a smile on his face and money in my pocket. Now, that's the truth.
There's a bright side somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Don't you stop until you find it. There's a bright side somewhere. There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. Don't you stop until you find it. There is more love somewhere.
Mr. Sneed's philosophy is based on his religious upbringing. Raised a Baptist, he talks about his values and principles.
I think that, I'm not saying that the black are without fault, but I believe there's a lot of black locked up. Wherein, if they had have been white, they probably would have looked over. I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think that you have to believe, you have to have something to believe in. You have to believe that it is a supreme creator. And I think if you had more religion, something to believe in, and I think if the the parent in the home is a place where justice is born. And we can build all the jails that we want. It's not going to help. Because the people that's going to jail, maybe they don't have good homes, they don't have... a lot of simple things in life that they should have. And so they just soon be in jail as any other place. And the people just soon put them there. What you want the other fella to be. If you want him to be honest, you be that way. You can't expect someone else to be what you are not. I say you have to leave that hatred and get it even behind, because if you don't drop it, it'll live forever. Religion plays a great part of one's life. I was living with hope and faith in the Creator, that He, in time, would make things right. And when it's all over, I live with the hope there will be a better place. And we're only here for a little while. And for me, while I'm here, I'm not going to walk around grieving about the past, what happened and the bad people and this one and that. That's too much. Too much for me. I can't carry that.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
While working at the Lone Star Cement plant in Hudson, Mr. Sneed's mother became sick. Mr. Sneed went home to be with her.
My mother was sickly, and I was working here at the Lone Star Cement. And I want to spend the last days with my mother, her last days. And so I spoke with the supervisor about it. I would like to go home and be with my mother. But I had a problem with that because she was very sick. And I was thinking that when my time was up, she may be worse than when I arrived. So, however, I talked it over with him, and he says, Sneed, he said, you go home and stay with your mother just as long as is necessary. And that's what happened. I stayed with her until she passed away, I guess about something like 3 weeks. And she was so happy to see me. She said, my baby is home now, and he will take care of me. She was a small person, and each day I would take her in my arms and hold her. And she enjoyed that. To this day, I think a lot of that supervisor.
If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voice so dear, how happy I would be. It would mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother pray again.
Sneed's mother died in 1948. She was 74 years old, born around 1874. Sneed is not sure of her birth date. There is no birth certificate. She attended school in a log cabin. The teacher was white. She learned reading, writing, and arithmetic.
My mother was, I think, very, very smart. She was a seamstress. She was a baker. She was a teacher. She was everything. And today I'm happy that I had a mother like her. Because, as I say, I never heard anything about hate. She taught us to religious life. And we always had hope. Not only in this life, but hope for a better life afterward.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.
Now, you know Mama love you. Why? Because least little thing happened to you, she sat up with you all night. And we understood that it was nobody on earth that loved you like Mother did. We understood that. And so we wouldn't do anything to discredit Mother.
Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. I'm sometimes up and sometimes down. Coming for to carry me home. But still my soul feels.
And as I say, we always had hope that things was going to get better. And what? But when you live with the idea that things are going to get better, it's just like in the spring of the year. After winter, it starts off very bad, but as the time go on, the trees begin to bud and the grass begin to come out, so things are getting better. So that's the way we looked at life.
Mr. Sneed tells of a newspaper being printed out of Pittsburgh by blacks. In this newspaper was the news of interest to the black community, including the civil rights movement, and particularly the actions of Martin Luther King, Jr., and the integration of the schools, and the police brutality, and the dogs, and the beatings, and President Eisenhower, and Governor Kefauver, and finally President Kennedy, who sent the troops, the National Guard. There were also athletic heroes for Sneed. Jackie Robinson broke the color line playing baseball. Jack Johnson became the first black heavyweight boxing champion of the world. And Hank Aaron broke the home run record of Babe Ruth. I asked Mr. Sneed about other times that he has personally been discriminated against. He spoke earlier of the segregation in the Army and how humiliating that was, and riding in the back of the bus in the South and job discrimination.
All the white people got on it. The bus got loaded and took off, and I'm still standing there.
And in searching for work as a young man, he tells how 40 people were waiting to get hired. He had been promised a job. Men were all crowded around waiting to get hired. The boss came and chose everyone but Mr. Sneed because of the color of his skin.
And I was the only one left that didn't get hired. And I cried like a baby. I wanted a job so bad. I had no money. And I was had made sure that I'm going to have a job. Now, that's what I want, you know, do anything. And I was the only one that it didn't hire. I don't have to tell you how I felt.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
After the war, Mr. Sneed went to the Grand Central Barbershop to get a haircut.
And I came through the Grand Central Station, and the barbershop was there. Oh, I hadn't had a chance to get a haircut. So I walked into the barbershop. I said, how's the chance of getting a haircut? This is what he said, you're going to have to wait. Oh, he's mad as a rattlesnake. Now, I didn't say anything because I knew, well, there's nothing to do, you know what I mean. I knew I was going to have to wait.
Mr. Sneed felt angry and wanted to respond, but he said to himself that the war was over and violence only brings violence. Mr. Sneed waited and waited. Others went before him until finally, another white customer spoke up and said that it was Mr. Sneed's turn, and that settled that. He got his hair cut.
I remember that I was in Washington, D.C., waiting for a train. I decided that I'd get a shoe shine. So I just walked and had no particular direction to walk in, but I just walked out and there was a barbershop. And there was a little black boy in there shining shoes. Oh, I said, this must be, probably all right to go in here. So I walked in, and no sooner I walked in, oh, what a place. And people all around getting a shoe shine. This little black fella, he was shining shoe, and I see he was, looking up, almost trembling, So the barber, he was shaving. And he looked at me, quite a ways away, because this was a long, huge place. He looked, I'm still standing there, and he shaved. Then he looked at me, and he shaved a little bit, and he looked at me, and all of a sudden, the expression on his face was, he turned right red. And he came, he rushed up to me. This actually happened, and he was coming so fast, raising hand, and when he stopped, he slid. His floor was so shiny and waxed. He slid right up to me, still got a raise in his hand. So I see that to myself, it looked like it's going to be a battle here, so I had a pocket knife. I got that. I went for my pocket knife. And this fella looked, the barber looked, and he see he had his razor, and it looked like he didn't realize that he had his razor. So he closed his razor up. And he says, what's the matter? I said, matter? He said, what do you want? I said, shoe shine. Oh, he said, you go down here, take a left. There's a colored barbershop. I said, thank you, and walked out. And I would have fought the best I could. And at the time, I thought I could fight. And I would fight because I had did anything wrong. And I wasn't going to run. So that's it. He was thinking I should have known better than to be in there. And I imagine he's thinking when I see the situation, I should have walked out. I imagine that was in his mind. Why don't he leave? Why are you standing there? But in my mind, I'm going to fight for what I see was right. I will not run.
Mr. Sneed returned from the war and went back to work at the Lone Star Cement Plant. He was a packer. He packed cement into bags. Each bag weighed 94 pounds. He lifted 8 bags onto a rolling cart and rolled it to the boxcar. Then he would lift the bags off the cart and load them into the boxcar, and then they were shipped by rail to other parts of America. This was a hard job, and out of 250 employees, Mr. Sneed was one of 6 workers who were black. The rest were white. All the blacks worked in the same area, and the job Mr. Sneed did was one of the hardest and paid the least. Most of Mr. Sneed's friends were from different parts of the county. He had many friends, both black and white.
My friend was white, and they had never had come in much contact with the black. So they go by what they hear. Because one of my friends says, the people told him, hey, at the plant, the most of the blacks worked in the shipping department where the hard workers, of course. And He says, where do you work? His neighbors would ask him. He said, in the pack house. In the pack house. Ain't that where all those black people work? Aren't you afraid they'll cut you? He said, in other words, after they begin to know, he wouldn't want to meet any better people so far as getting in trouble or getting hurt or fighting and so forth. He, you know, but they didn't know that. They're going by what they hear. Now, you always have some people around just as what they say, you know, like that.
Mr. Sneed says that rumors and hearsay led to misconceptions and misunderstandings and distrust. The workplace was one of the few places where blacks and whites mixed, although it was limited and segregated to some extent.
I see so much hatred in the world. I wish it was more love and understanding. Because a lot of it have to do with the understanding. In working with different people, different nationalities, so forth and so on, and they have opinion. They have opinion of you. And sometimes they are guided by what they have heard, but no experience of what, you know. And that's one thing would happen in the years of going by, separation. I'm thinking of the South now. Separation causes you to not understand the other fella. And that's sad. I'm thinking now that the different ones that I have the opportunity of working with in this area. After we have worked together, there's a lot of, white people that I've worked with, they had a different opinion. But after we got to know each other, it was altogether different. I guess that's why that I have so many friends. I have some lovely friends. Good friends. I feel comfortable with them, you know? Yeah. And they tell me, and they tell me how they feel and, you know, and all this, what I'm saying is we working together, I know how they felt before and afterwards they find out that it's not like they thought.
As of April 1st, 1997, Mr. Sneed is alive and well and still telling his stories from his home on Columbia Street in Hudson to his neighbor, Linda Mussman.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God will gathering home. We will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Time and Space Limited is a community-based arts organization under the direction of Linda Mussman and Claudia Bruce. Located at 434 Columbia Street in Hudson, New York, TSL provides year-round programming that includes live theater, independent documentary and classic movies, youth programs, simulcasts of the Metropolitan Opera and the National Theatre of London, as well as topical forums and community outreach events. To learn more, visit TSL on the web at www.timeandspace.org. Tune in next Wednesday at 3 p.m. for the next edition of Time and Space Limited Presents TSL Radio Theatre.